Sophie, you'll find out just exactly how Joshua and the children of Israel felt when they marched around Jericho so many times, wasn't allowed to open their trap. Don't you know there was some hoopeeing going on when the Lord let the trumpet sound?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you know there was a lot of going on? Don't you know there was a lot of worship and praises unto God?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want to thank you and the Lord for the offering. It will be used for a good purpose to help further the work of God. I love the Lord. I want to see his work go on. Don't you? Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You may be seated. I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood can wash away. Chapter of the book of St. John. I'm sure that you'll not consider it to be so profound tonight, but trying to give careful consideration through the Spirit concerning this service, we felt this is the will of the Lord. Chapter 3, verse 13, Jesus was ministering to Nicodemus. Welcome everybody tonight to the Apostolic Church. God bless you for being here. We trust that you'll be blessed in a spiritual measure, that you'll want to attend again and again and again. We trust if you need healing, you'll receive healing. But that's not why Jesus came. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's great. And I know a lot of preachers use it like politicians use for a political platform. They get their little sounding deals and they sound out and they got their issues, and a lot of preachers use healing for their platform, and that's all they preach is the miracles and healing and things that appeals to people's natural senses and concern. But that's great. I'm not belittling that. That's wonderful in its place, but that's not really why Jesus came. Hallelujah. Third chapter of St. John, verse 13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in God's stead.
Thank God.
That's my text tonight. In God's stead. We pray you in God's stead. Be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In God's stead, I will praise him. I will praise him. I'll praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood can wash away. Have maybe a special job to do, but every one of you have a job to do. I appreciate the minister, Brother Rutledge, this morning ministering about be not weary in well doing. Everyone, whether you may be, you may not necessarily be called into the what's commonly called the fivefold ministry from the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, verse 11. But there is a ministry to the church.
That's right.
For the perfecting of the saints. But there's also the ministry of the church.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And everyone that's been born of the Spirit has witnessed the glory of God.
That's right.
Hallelujah. I said everyone that's been born of the Spirit has witnessed the glory of God.
That's right.
That is, you know, that was the job of the priest. He was the go-between between God and the people. He went into the most holy place. He went into the holiest. He went behind the veil. The ordinary person could not go back there. But he was to go back there and witness the glory of God coming and filling the place of the offering of the sacrifice. And he was to come out and tell the people everything's all right. But when God baptizes you with the Holy Ghost, he lets you witness the glory of God. And he puts it into your heart that everything is all right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the reason the Apostle Peter wrote the church in Peter 2 and 9. Said, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We're just a whole nation of priests, if you please. Hallelujah! You're a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, a holy nation, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What light? The glory of his light. The glory of God. That's the reason John well could write, we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, because he was on the mountain when the veil of flesh was parted and Jesus was transfigured before their eyes, and his flesh became so glorious and so bright with light that they fell to their face as they were dead. They saw the glory of God, and every born again child of God has witnessed the glory of God. Have you ever noticed the joy of God coming on one's face and they begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance and their face lights up? Hey, that's the glory of God you're seeing. I believe that's the glory of God. And this is the thing that Moses saw when he desired to see the glory of God. And God put his hand over Moses and passed by him and he saw his glory. But when he came down to the camp,
They had never seen anything like that. And they looked at Moses and they fell to their face. They couldn't look on him. And Moses had to put a veil over his face. No wonder he said, the Lord, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up like unto me. With a veil on, if you please. Hallelujah. I said with a veil on. Hallelujah. Veiled in flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. Justified in the spirit. Seen of angels. Preached into the Gentiles. Believed on in the world and received up into glory. But he was veiled in flesh so that we could not see the glory. But John was there when the glory was revealed, when the flesh undoubtedly parted, the spirit world was opened up, and John saw it. He had the authority to write, we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's worship him. Tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. God's a good God. He's concerned about you. All through the years of your life, he's been looking in. He's been watching. He's kept a watchful eye over you. You may have been unaware of it. It may have gone unnoticed by you for many years. But you are sitting in the apostolic church tonight, hearing the praises and feeling a little twinge of the Spirit now and then as goosebumps run over your spine just a little bit, and you feel a little anxiety. Somebody told us one time down in Louisiana, said, I don't like to come over there to y'all church. Y'all nearly freeze me to death. It didn't matter how hot or how cold it was. They nearly froze. You know what it was? It was the excitement. It was the enthusiastic atmosphere that they were in. The presence of God as it touched their life, and goosebumps run up and down their spine. And she reached over and showed a sister one night, pulled up her sleeve, and goosebumps just popped out all over. You know why? She was scared because she wasn't obedient to the presence of God. But if she ever got on the inside of her spirit and in her soul what she was feeling a touch of on the outside, it wouldn't have been fear. No, sir. That would have been rejoicing. That would have been praising. And she would look forward to every service in the apostolic church. Hallelujah. Jesus told Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. People say, I won't lift him up. Now, don't you watch what you say.
Right.
I don't.
That's right.
He was talking about his crucifixion. I want to exalt his name.
Right.
Everybody say, I want to exalt his name. But I don't want to lift him up. He was speaking concerning his death. He was speaking the death that he was going to die on the cross. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must also the Son of Man be lifted up.
Right.
Well, now, let's go back. It might do us good to go back to Numbers, the 21st chapter, to where Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. You know what those folks were doing? They were complaining, griping, grumbling.
Yeah.
Now, the Bible said they were complaining against God and Moses. But now, if you read what they said, there was no mention of God. But why did it say that they were complaining about God and speaking against God and against Moses? In verses 5 through 9, you'll read a little bit about it in the 21st chapter of Numbers. Don't turn to it now, please. Make a note of it if you care to. And check it out when you get home. But they were complaining. They were griping. And you know what they were doing? They were complaining about what God was giving them to eat. Don't ever take it for granted the blessings of God that fall around here. Don't ever take it for granted the spiritual food that God dishes out around here.
Right.
Don't ever belittle the moving of the Holy Ghost because you don't think it's as great in one service as it is another. Don't talk against the church. Don't talk about the move of God. The Holy Ghost is God's blessing sent down from heaven. Every good and perfect gift, James said, cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. What I'm telling you is, they were complaining. You know what they said? All we got to eat is this old angel food. My. Now, if you and I could get a hold of some of that, we'd think we're somebody come.
Yeah.
Is that right? If God would just rain bread down out of heaven, go back to the 11th chapter and you'll find a little bit more about this at the very beginning of it. when they were hungry, God actually rained bread out of heaven and it fell on the ground. And Moses commanded them how to gather it and how much and all of the particulars about it. But later on, they became very disgruntled in their attitude. And because it was the same old thing, listen, don't you belittle the moving of the Holy Ghost. That's the reason I watch with a careful eye and with careful ears. I listen to these fellas that are talking about a deeper move of the Holy Ghost. Oh no, there's no greater thing than the born-again experience of God. We may become more proficient in operating that which God has entrusted to us, but there's no greater blessing than the born-again experience of God. Hallelujah. 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 And you that do not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you be careful about how you talk about God's manna. Hallelujah. You know what they did? They said, we're tired of eating this old angel's food. Well, didn't call it angel's food there, but David in the book of Psalms said the children of Israel did eat angel's food. So David called it angel's food in the book of Psalms. So that'll keep you from calling my hand on it when you go reading it and checking it out. See? Yeah.
Right.
Hallelujah. Everybody love Jesus? Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Glory, 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 glory. They became grumblers, complainers. All we've got to eat is what God has given us. What else do you want?
Uh-huh.
What else do you want?
Right.
If God doesn't see fit to give you anything else, then don't complain. Be glad that you got that and rejoice about that.
Sure,
they begin to think, say, well, I tell you what, one fellow said, you know, it's pretty bad. I remember every day, and you can read this.
Yeah.
I remember every day we had fish in Egypt.
Yeah.
Boy, we had all the fish we wanted. Not only that, we had the leaves, we had the garlic, we had the onion, the cucumbers, and they got to reminiscing about all of that. Come on now, I'm not making none of y'all hungry, am I? Yeah. They got to reminiscing about all of those things. And you know what it reminds me of? It's no wonder that the Apostle Paul wrote the church at Galatia. And he said, I marvel that you are so soon moved to another gospel, which is not another gospel. And you turn to the beggarly elements. I'm telling you that anything short of what God has got to offer are the beggarly elements. And I pray you in the name of the Lord with Sister Rhonda, don't turn from this and turn to the beggarly elements. Anything short of God's intention for your life is the beggarly elements. Anything that is short of the blessings of God in your life is a small thing and a little thing. God's got the best. God offers the best. God gives the best. And God does the best. And God's got the best people on the face of the earth. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. But they complained. They spoke against Moses for bringing them there. They complained about what God sent, so God said, you're complaining about me.
Right.
And he sent fiery serpents among them.
Uh-huh.
And serpents began to bite the people. And the Bible said much people of the children of Israel died because of the serpents that were among them.
Right.
I don't know. This is speculation upon my part. But I don't think I'm assuming a whole lot. Maybe there were some little children that died because of them serpents. The mama went to give the baby a bottle or whatever, went to tend and change his diaper. And instead of finding the baby's diaper dirty or wet and needing changing, there was a serpent that had bit her child.
Oh, God.
And I'm sure, after the Lord told Moses to establish this serpent of brass and put it on a pole so that Israel could see it.
Oh, God.
Why did he say a serpent? Because serpents was what was giving them their trouble.
Right.
Serpents was what was biting them, and he put that on a pole. And he said, you look to this, and everything will be all right. And the Bible said, and every man that looked toward that serpent live. But those that will not look toward that serpent died. And much people of the children of Israel died because of the serpent. And I can imagine a mother. I know if the mother had been like I am about my child and my wife is about our daughter, that if she'd have found a serpent in the bed with her child, she'd have readily grabbed that child's face. Maybe the child wasn't old enough to understand what it was all about. But she
have turned that child's head toward that serpent and said, baby, look on that serpent. This is God's plan.
Dad, I want to tell you tonight, if need be, in the empathy of your children, you need to direct their head and their attention toward the church, because we're standing in God's stead, telling you about God's deliverance, and God has entrusted us the ministry of reconciliation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's worship. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, God help us. I want to see the children of this church. I want their attention turned toward the church. I want their attention turned toward God, because He's the one that's being preached here. He's the one that's being exalted here through praying and worshiping and loving and testimony. No wonder the book of Malachi chapter 3 verse 16 said, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. They didn't get off in a little corner and live in a little world to themselves and then come to church and that's the only time one another. No, sir. And I'm telling you something else. I don't believe that's a perfect plan of God for people to get little cliques and little clans and you live off yourself somewhere and only see the rest of the people of God only at church time and then you don't particularly care whether you see it. Listen, I long to walk down the street and see one of God's saints across the street. I may not get close enough to speak to them, but it does something to my spirit just to see one that I know has the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And they that feared the Lord spake what?
Often.
Often. Everybody say often.
Often.
They talked about the Lord a whole lot. They spake often one to another.
One to another.
And not only that, not only did the one they're talking to hear it, but somebody else was listening. The Bible said, and the Lord hearkened, and He heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon His name. Say, it's no wonder that the writer of the book of Hebrews, he was well moved by the Spirit when he said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another daily.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You don't live off to yourself every day and exhort one another daily.
Monday,
you talk about the Lord on Tuesday. You talk about the Lord on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Every day your conversation somewhere interwoven in it all. You get an opportunity to talk about Jesus. Hallelujah. But exhorting one another daily. And what? And so much the more. More than daily? More than one time a day?
Yeah.
More than one time a day we're going to talk about it. Yes, sir. Every time you get a chance. He said, exhorting one another daily, and so much the more. As you see the day approaching. I don't know about you, but I feel like that I've got just a little spiritual insight to God's time clock. I may not be well discerning proficiently and 100% accurately the signs of the time, but I've seen enough, I've read enough, I've heard enough, I've witnessed enough, I've felt enough in my spirit to know that the day is approaching, and the day is far spent. And the evening's at hand. And if you're not careful, you'll be as Jeremiah said, the summer's ended. The harvest is past. And we're not saved.
And we're not saved. Oh, God.
We're in the summertime to a degree. Perhaps in the time of the latter rain, when God wants to do great things for us.
Yes, He does.
And you that need God, God wants to do something for you.
Right.
Serpents was troubling them fellas. And the Lord gave them a remedy for it all.
Praise God.
Why was this so serious for them to complain about the man? If you turn to the 6th chapter of the book of St. John, it will give you a little understanding. Jesus Himself said in the 3rd chapter, as we read to you in our opening text, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must also the Son of Man be lifted up.
Right.
He was likening Himself to that serpent that Moses lifted up to Israel up on a pole. He was like Himself. In the 6th chapter of the book of St. John, He declared to be that manna that God sent down out of heaven. Yes, He did. He said, I am the bread of life. I came down from heaven. and they ridicule him. You better watch how you talk about what God sends down from heaven. The Holy Ghost is nothing short of Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the reason you need to be careful what you say about the Holy Ghost. For Jesus said, if you speak a word against the Son of Man, it'll be forgiven you. But if you speak a word against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven you in this world, nor the world to come. Don't tell me that only Holy Ghost people can blaspheme. These people Jesus was warning about that weren't filled with the Holy Ghost, weren't interested in the Holy Ghost, and Jesus stopped them dead in their tracks. Say, you be careful how you speak about the work of God. Hallelujah. You're liable to be in trouble with God. You better know what you're talking about.
Right.
Jesus declared to be that bread. Well, he went on to tell them, said, your fathers make, they're bragging, you know, they're sticking their chest out like it's something they're proud of. Well, ask their forefathers how proud it was. Here they were complaining about it. Here their sons are bragging about it. Well, our fathers did eat manna in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Jesus said, well, did your fathers eat manna in the wilderness, but they died. Uh-huh. But I am the bread of life. And he that eats my flesh and drinks my blood shall not die,
amen,
but will live forever. Hallelujah. If it was wrong to talk about what God sent down from heaven, and it didn't even sustain their life, they died anyway. It did not give them eternal life. You sure better be careful about that which God is sending down to give unto the world eternal life. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You see, the problem is people have got so accustomed to this world it's become home to them.
Right.
Some people, if I call their name, you'd know them. That were... Man had left the church and he was going into the entertainment field. Gospel singing, but it's still entertainment.
Right.
And when you go into it just for the entertainment, thumbs down on it.
Right.
All right.
That's good.
Now, and they were becoming quite well known along about 66 when this Israeli war broke out over there, and the Israelis done it to them in about 7 days. They complained to my wife and I at a camp meeting. And the preacher's wife said, isn't this a sight? We're just getting started and fixing to be successful. And I'll declare if the Lord's not going to fool around, come.
Now, isn't that something? My Lord.
You talking about doing something to my spirit.
Uh-huh.
That turned me off. And they hadn't turned me on with their singing nothing else since.
Oh, that's good.
That killed it. I say with John, even so, come Lord Jesus. No matter how successful I could ever become, even so, come Lord Jesus. There's none of that worth what I've got in Christ Jesus. None of that can compare with the blessings of God. Do you hear me tonight? Nothing that this world has got to offer. We sing the song. Sister Brendan, the trio around here sings the song. There's nothing can hold me, no money or home. I'll leave without saying goodbye. I wouldn't even say goodbye to the entertainment world. Take me out of here, God, but let me feel the Spirit of God moving in my soul. That's the most important thing. Hallelujah. He was good enough to take all of our sin to the cross.
Oh, yeah.
I want to read you something that Peter said in, I believe, 1 Peter, the second chapter. 1 Peter, the second chapter. I want to read it to you from verse 24. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Now think about it. He bare in his own body. You mean he took my sin to the cross? Yes, sir. He took your sin to the cross.
Hallelujah, thank God.
But preacher, I'm a drunkard. They accuse the Lord of everything in the book.
Uh-huh.
Accused him of lying. Accused him of being a drunkard.
Right. Well, I am.
So Jesus said, Jesus said, John the Baptist came neither eating nor drinking. And you said he had a devil. And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man, a wine bibber.
Right.
You call me a wine bibber. You call me a drunkard. That's someone that uses it in excess. You call me a drunkard. But Jesus didn't retaliate. He didn't fuss with them about it. He left it. And he took drunkenness to the cross.
Thank you, Jesus.
He took that accusation.
Thank you, Jesus.
He accepted it.
My Lord.